3. The human brain. So, what makes the brain so unlike the programming that goes into AI and neural networks? What is so unusual about the brain's design, and why does it matter? As we'll see in the next few chapters, the brain's architecture has a great deal to tell us about how the brain really works and why it is fundamentally different from a computer. Let's begin our introduction with the whole organ. Imagine there is a brain sitting on a table and we are dissecting it together. The first thing you'll notice is that the outer surface of the brain seems highly uniform. A pinkish gray, it resembles a smooth cauliflower with numerous ridges and valleys called gyri and sulci. It is soft and squishy to the touch. This is the neocortex, a thin sheet of neural tissue that envelops most of the older parts of the brain. We are going to focus most of our attention on the neocortex, almost everything we think of as intelligence. Perception, language, imagination, mathematics, art, music, and planning occurs here. Your neocortex is listening to this book. Now, here I have to admit that I am a neocortical chauvinist. I know I'm going to meet some resistance on this point, so let me take a minute to defend my approach before we get too far in. Every part of the brain has its own community of scientists who study it, and the suggestion that we can get to the bottom of intelligence by understanding just the neocortex is sure to raise a few howls of objection from communities of offended researchers. They will say things like, "You cannot possibly understand the neocortex without understanding brain region blah, because the two are highly interconnected, like so, and you need brain region blah to do such and such." I don't disagree. Granted, the brain consists of many parts, and most of them are critical to being human. Oddly, an exception is the part of the brain with the largest number of cells, the cerebellum. If you are born without a cerebellum, or it is damaged, you can lead a pretty normal life. However, this is not true for most other brain regions. Most are required for basic living, or sentience. My counter-argument is that I am not interested in building humans. I want to understand intelligence and build intelligent machines. Being human and being intelligent are separate matters. An intelligent machine need not have sexual urges, hunger, a pulse, muscles, emotions, or a human-like body. A human is much more than an intelligent machine. We are biological creatures with all the necessary and sometimes unwanted baggage that comes from eons of evolution. If you want to build intelligent machines that behave just like humans, that is, to pass the Turing test in all ways, then you probably would have to recreate much of the other stuff that makes humans what we are. But, as we will see later, to build machines that are undoubtedly intelligent but not exactly like humans, we can focus on the part of the brain strictly related to intelligence. To those who may be offended by my singular focus on the neocortex, let me say I agree that other brain structures, such as the brain stem, basal ganglia, and amygdala, are indeed important to the functioning of the human neocortex. No question. But I hope to convince you that all the essential aspects of intelligence occur in the neocortex, with important roles also played by two other brain regions, the thalamus and the hippocampus, that we will discuss later in the book. In the long run, we will need to understand the functional roles of all brain regions, but I believe those matters will be best addressed in the context of a good overall theory of neocortical function. That's my two cents on the matter. Let's get back to the neocortex, or its shorter moniker, the cortex. Get 6 business cards, or 6 playing cards, either will do, and put them in a stack. It will really help if you do this instead of just imagining it. You are now holding a model of the cortex. Your 6 business cards are about 2 millimeters thick and should give you a sense of how thin the cortical sheet is. Just like your stack of cards, the neocortex is about 2 millimeters thick and has 6 layers, each approximated by 1 card. Stretched flat, the human neocortical sheet is roughly the size of a large dinner napkin. The cortical sheets of other mammals are smaller. The rat's is the size of a postage stamp. The monkey's is about the size of a business letter envelope. But regardless of size, most of them contain six layers similar to what you see in your stack of business cards. Humans are smarter because our cortex, relative to body size, covers a larger area, not because our layers are thicker or contain some special class of smart cells. Its size is quite impressive as it surrounds and envelops most of the rest of the brain. To accommodate our large brain, nature had to modify our general anatomy. Human females developed a wide pelvis to give birth to big-headed children, a feature that some paleoanthropologists believe co-evolved with the ability to walk on two legs. But that still wasn't enough, so evolution folded up the neocortex, stuffing it into our skulls like a sheet of paper crumpled into a brandy snifter. Your neocortex is loaded with nerve cells, or neurons. They are so tightly packed that no one knows precisely how many cells it contains. If you draw a tiny square, 1 millimeter on a side, about half the size of a letter O on a standard book page, on the top of your stack of business cards, you are marking the position of an estimated 100,000 neurons. Imagine trying to count the exact number in such a tiny space. It is virtually impossible. Nevertheless, some anatomists have estimated that the typical human neocortex contains around 30 billion neurons. But no one would be surprised if the figure was significantly higher or lower. Those 30 billion cells are you. They contain almost all your memories, knowledge, skills, and accumulated life experience. After 25 years of thinking about brains, I still find this fact astounding, that a thin sheet of cells sees, feels, and creates our worldview is just short of incredible. The warmth of a summer day and the dreams we have for a better world are somehow the creation of these cells. Many years after he wrote his article in Scientific American, Francis Crick wrote a book about brains called The Astonishing Hypothesis. The astonishing hypothesis was simply that the mind is the creation of the cells in the brain. There is nothing else, no magic, no special sauce, only neurons and a dance of information.